dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Snap it back to Epperson. And his kick is blocked. It's spinning at the 40, picked up at the 30, 25-yard line. Running it down the far side of it at the 5. He dives. Did he get in? He did. Touchdown, Nebraska. The Huskers have scored on one of the first plays of this game on a block punt.
Eric Martin.
Cody gets the snap. Holds. Now may take off and run. He's weaving his way to the 35. Breaks a tackle as a first down and fires up to the 43-yard line. A gain of 10.
Green under center. Long count. Young in motion. Good turn. Handed off to Dontrevious Robinson. He's up and over in for the end zone for a touchdown. And Robinson's second touchdown of his career. A one-yard plunge. And Nebraska leads it 19-0.
Green in the shotgun. Cody now checking off, moves Dontrevious from his right to his left. Gets the snap, looks, throws, pass is intercepted. Picked off, maybe 6 points for Baylor. 20, it's Odom, 10, 5, touchdown. It's a pick six for Baylor, and the Bears have scored 9 unanswered here in the third quarter. Pistol formation this time for Baylor. First and 10 on their own 22, Finley to back behind Florence. And then they drop the ball. It's loose on the turf at the 22. There's a pile up. The Huskers say they've got it. They do. Nebraska gets their third turnover of the game. And guess who? Jaron Crick, the man of the day for the Huskers, comes out of there with a football.
Cody Green out with Dontrevious Robinson off to his right. Quarterback run for Green. Trying to get to the outside. He's stuffed and dropped. And the ball comes out. Bader's got it right back.
Ball was knocked free by Antonio Johnson. Earl Patton pulls it up, and Bader on the very next play gets a turnover. That's the second turnover of the day for the Huskers.
Throws toward the end zone. Pass is incomplete.
Lance Sorrell knocked it away from Ernest Smith when the game is over, and the Huskers do get a 20-10 victory over the Bader Bears.
And that's how it wrapped up. Greg Sharp of the Husker Sports Network with Matt Davison saying no, no, no a whole bunch of times in that football game as Nebraska wins it 20-10. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show to start off November, and happy November, everybody. Merck and Morris, Paul Merkowitz, Hastings football coach, Darryl Morris, UNK football coach. We're going to talk about what's still to come for them. Huge win for the Lopers on Saturday. We'll talk with Coach about that in just a couple of moments. We'll talk Husker football as well. Later on this week, we're expecting Jaron Crick, National Defensive Player of the Week, is scheduled to join us tomorrow. We believe he will be on this portion of the show tomorrow before Bo Pelini's press conference. Also, another Division I athlete from the area, Kelsey Peterson. Nebraska plays Iowa State in volleyball again this Saturday, and the Kearney High native is scheduled to join us on Thursday. Plus, we've got high school football playoffs. The postseason is here for volleyball, and some teams just draw the short straw. That's all to it. We'll take a look at how we did in our pigskin pick'em from Friday. We'll see how Daddy did. He just didn't seem too fired up yesterday. But let me start with this, Tony. We'll start right off the top here with daylight savings time. It screws me up. The day afterwards. It's like today. You reset your clock, but one's like 5 minutes fast, one's 2 minutes slow, and then when you reset it, they're not 5 minutes fast or 2 minutes slow anymore. And it just throws off my day here. And so I'm a little off.
Don't like it or like it?
Oh, I don't have any problem with it as far as that. But, you know, you got all those things that you do. I like that extra hour of sleep, which really isn't. And, you know, if you're at work right now or whatever you're doing and you feel hungry, well, because it's like noon. You're used to eating at this time, people. So you going to make it? Is
yeah.
Be okay?
Well, I had to have four burritos at Taco John's before.
Anybody else you want to plug for free?
No, I didn't have four.
5 years. 5 years on the show. 5 years. Cody Green got the start. You're going to want to talk about that. We're going to talk with local coach Darryl Morris in just a second. But to get your emails off, fire it off to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Dent Popper home. Oh, they could, maybe we should send the Huskers to them. Maybe take some of the dents out of that offense. Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. I will say this. The Huskers may not win another game this season. I was thoroughly disappointed in the effort on Saturday. I'm hoping that putting Cody Green in, if they stay with Cody, leads to good things for the Huskers. So that's what I think about that game Saturday. It was terrible. It was just terrible. There's no doubt the best game was at Foster Field.
Well, Doug, I will say about the Husker game, my opening statement will be, I'm thoroughly disappointed in the play calling of the Husker game. The rest of it, you get out of there with a win, the defense plays unbelievably great again. to get out of there. You block a punt. You finally get the turnovers you needed. That's good in a positive direction.
Never question your play calling, have they, Coach? Coach Daryl Morris joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Good morning.
Hey, guys. How are we today?
We're doing okay. People get questioned even when they're winning, don't they?
Yes, they do. All the time. All the time. I go home, and I got a lady that lives there that asks me all the time, what'd you do that for, you idiot?
She still lives there?
Yeah, she does.
Only once this year, Coach. That's when you didn't kick the extra point. You went for two.
Yeah, the one time I didn't kick the extra point, but I'm one for one on that deal, so...
Thank God Daddy's here for that. Big win for the Lopers, 24-12 on Saturday over Colorado Mines, and put up a ton of yards in this football game. 430 for the Lopers, 256 for School of Mines, 8 sacks. Rustin Dring seems to set a new career high in rushing every single week. Coach, a lot of things went well. The most important thing is that you now can win the RMAC title outright next Saturday.
Yeah, and we're very excited about that. Our kids are very excited about it, and you know, that's a goal that we set some time ago. So to be in a position to have that actually become a reality is a big thrill for us.
Coach, when did you realize Jake Spitzelberger could be the quarterback he's turned into?
Well, I think when we recruited him. You know, he did a lot of the things in high school that we do here. He ran an offense very similar to ours. We saw him doing things on high school tape and in person that we knew he could do in college. And, you know, excuse me, he grew last year in the role of our starter. We knew he would be improved this year just because of experience and exposure. So, you know, we're excited about him, and he continues to get better and better and better every week.
Yeah, Jake, I mean, we've talked about him numerous times. He's had his days. He hasn't had his days, but lately we haven't had to look at that column and go, he just had an off day, and he had a good day. So did Rustin Dring for you. It's nice to be healthy. Where is Rustin just getting better at?
Well, what he's getting better at doing is just, you know, again, developing an understanding of pass protection, of running routes, and just, you know, his role as the tailback in our offense, because it's not just getting the ball and running with it. There's a lot of other things that are involved in it, and his leadership skills and the way he carries himself and what he brings to the table, you know, other than just carrying the football, he's getting better at all those things.
Coach, in the portion of the game that I was able to be at, I thought one thing that really impressed me was the fire on the sidelines. When people were making plays, you guys had to get 10 or 15 guys off the field from getting out there and just flying all over. Kids that won't normally see the field, they're 10 yards out, they're jumping on people. The fire was all over the sideline as well.
Well, I think, you know, our football team, myself included, we wanted this win, and we wanted to win this game pretty bad, and I thought our kids all week long were focused, and, you know, they're a loose group, you know. I mean, they kind of giggle around and you know, and that kind of stuff, but you know, they were ready to play football on Saturday. They were focused, and I thought from this opening kickoff, our football team was on the right track.
This is a 14-12 football game as you guys have the ball starting your drive there in the fourth quarter, but it seemed like maybe you had dominated the ball game a little bit more than the score indicated.
Well, you know, we had a touchdown called back on a big run by Rusty, and it was a legitimate holding call. The referee gave me the wrong number, so I was on him a little bit about the guy that he called it on originally, but, you know, you do it once, you can do it twice. We pulled that play off on an outside zone, and Rusty went for about 35 yards and a touch, and we just knew that if we kept that defense of Mines chasing Rusty Dring from sideline to sideline, we could see they were getting tired. We knew we were going to wear them out, and we thought in the fourth quarter we might be able to go ahead and win her.
Coach, quarterback from a Colorado School of Mines never got his feet set. Your defense is all over him. Dane Rudine gets my player of the game. Who gets yours?
Probably Josh Rohde. Dane played a great game. Mason Brodeen played a great game, obviously, but Josh Rohde really put a lot of pressure on the quarterback, and we got eight sacks, but we hurt him several times, and we also had a lot of guys in his throwing window. We kept him moving around. He didn't have a clear view down the field, and we had guys with their hands up in the air, and it was just a phenomenal job by the guys up front, which led to better linebacker play, which led the guys in the secondary not to have to cover those big wideouts they had for near as long, so they could be more aggressive, and we just played a great team football game on Saturday.
We're talking with the head football coach at UNK, Daryl Morris. Big win over Colorado Mines. Your defense had 8 sacks, as you said. I know that was maybe the one concern going into this. And you know what was fun, Tony, is we got a chance to see some of the players on Halloween. They dressed up as ass-kicking winners.
That was the best costume of all night.
Coach, Mesa State now everybody was looking forward to this game for a month because of the competition leading up to it. But now you can't let down to keep your goal intact about Mesa State this week.
No, and I have absolutely no concerns about this particular football team that I have right now of having any letdown whatsoever. Again, they've got some clear, defined goals that they want to accomplish, and winning the Rocky Mountain Athletic Conference championship outright is one of them. Putting themselves in position to maybe make the national playoffs is another one, and I think we'll have a great week of practice, and I think our kids will go out and play outstanding football on Saturday.
Coach, what do you expect when the regional rankings come out today?
I expect to move up maybe to number 5 or something like that, probably not higher than number 4, and I would like to see if we couldn't get ourselves in position to host a home game, and that means we need to be number 4 when it's all said and done.
Well, Coach, anything else that we haven't touched on that you wanted to talk about from this football game?
Well, you know, I want to give kudos to the community of Cardi. I thought they came out in great fashion, and we had a great crowd, beautiful day. Obviously, it was a Chamber of Commerce-type day for us, but I really appreciate everybody coming to the ball game. The tailgate, from what my wife tells me, was a lot of fun. And, you know, I think it was just a great day for Kearney and UNK football and University of Nebraska at Kearney in general.
Coach, I'm going to give a shout-out to Jordan kicking the football. I thought you guys wanted to kick it away from one guy. I think he did a good job of that. Jordan's got his dobber down, I think, a little bit earlier in the year and probably needed a little bit of confidence when people weren't giving it to him. But he's kicking the ball much, much better for
you. He is kicking the ball very well. And, you know, we specifically had him kicking some shorter, higher kicks and trying to place them. And he did a very nice job of placing the ball on the field where we wanted it. He kept the ball away from the people that we didn't want to have their hands on it. And he's got a sore leg, too, so he fought through some discomfort in doing that and did an excellent job for us.
Coach, we'll let you get to class, and we'll talk about an RMAC championship next week.
Thanks, guys.
Daryl Morris, head football coach at the University of Nebraska. Kearney, a 24-12 win over Colorado Mines. They've won 9 in a row, their longest winning streak since 77. They have shared the RMAC title in 02. They won it outright in 05. If they beat Mesa State next Saturday on the road, they'll be the outright champs again, and they'll be in the playoffs. I mean, they're sitting in a spot right now where they will make the playoffs. So what a ball game for UNK on Saturday, really holding a powerful Mines team down.
Look, I think it's fun, and, you know, it's a great victory for all the kids. But having the local kids contributing as much as they're contributing offensively, Brendan Leese, Rustin Dring, I mean, you can run down the Ryan Matthews, you can run down the list defensively, Rudine, Morton, Ackerman. The list just goes on and on. It's fun to follow kids that you know and follow throughout their Swedberg, Gustafson, Mandelko. I know I'm leaving out kids, but it's fun to follow those local kids and get behind this group. And a fun football game to watch and a fun football game to be at. Good atmosphere on Saturday at UNK.
And we're just going to have to hope that there will be at least one more home game for the Lopers. We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Paul Merkowitz joins us in the second half of the program, but we'll get to the Huskers, we'll get to the World Series, and anything else you want to talk about, fire off your emails to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Back after this.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Most of the sponsor messages you're about to hear did not realize their commercials were going to be in the Doug and Daddy Show. Pity.
If you've noticed a change in your hearing, then it's time to see ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center. The unique partnership between our audiologists and physicians allow us to provide unsurpassed care and state-of-the-art hearing health care. To learn more about our practice and the services we provide, visit our website at entphysiciansofkearney.com. Caring for our community one patient at a time, we're ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center.
It's the 10th anniversary of the Tri-City Storm.
Hi, I'm Storm goalie Carson Chubak. Midweek Madness is hitting the Viero Event Center. During select Tuesday and Wednesday games, Storm Hockey and Coca-Cola will present the Dollar Deal. Come to the game and you can get a hot dog and soda for only $1. Just like the Storm, this deal can't be beat.
The next Midweek Madness Dollar Deal night is Tuesday, November 3rd. Get a hot dog and a soda for only $1. Tickets available at stormhockey.com, presented by Viero.
Nobody else does what the Boathouse does, and that's why you should choose the Boathouse for your winter storage. What is it that the Boathouse does that no one else does?
Free spring startup.
Not only do they put your boat to bed with any number of winterization packages from small engines to huge inboard outboards, but a free spring startup as well. Head for the Boathouse for a winterization, indoor or outdoor storage, and then a free spring startup. The Boathouse, a mile north of Grand Island on 281. See them for ammunition, too, from high power to handgun and shotgun shells. TheBoathouseGI.com.
The spirit of New York has been distilled into the classic New York spirit. New Amsterdam Gin. A gin so smooth you can drink it straight. Of course, a smooth gin deserves a smooth place to enjoy it. So we've teamed with ESPN to give away the New Amsterdam MVP Lounge, the ultimate home sports theater. Check out ESPNradio.com for details. New Amsterdam Spirits Company, Modesto, California. All rights reserved. Please enjoy responsibly.
Hey, Ham, I can't believe you got a new recliner just for tailgating.
Oh, I did, but with a built-in massager.
Can I sit in it?
No.
Come on, let me...
No.
Fine, I'll just wait till you have to go to the bathroom.
You were saying?
The more you save on insurance, the more you'll have football. Drivers who switch to Allstate saved an average of $396 a year. Are you in good hands?
Savings based on national customer reported data for new policies written in 2008. Actual savings vary. Insurance subject to terms, qualifications, and availability. Allstate Insurance Company, Northbrook, Illinois.
The 2009 World Series on ESPN Radio. ESPN Radio.
Belts one, right center field, way, way back there, long gone.
The Yankees continue to play red hot as they win their third game in a row to take a commanding 3-1 lead.
There's a shot deep into right field and way back way into back. The bleachers. A spectacular home run.
Game 5 of the World Series, pregame at 6 tonight on ESPN Radio. We'll see considerable cloudiness and a chance of some showers across the area as we head through the day today with high temperatures around 54. Winds will also stay variable at 5 to 15. Then skies stay partly to mostly cloudy tonight with a low at 33. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 45.
I had to snap every little tube off your body is what I ought to do. Good Lord.
I'm leaving today.
Seriously. Oklahoma-Nebraska this week. Oklahoma-Nebraska this week. And then you look at that Yankee game last night and you go, that's why we hated the Sooners. Because when they were down and they had no momentum and they were beat, all of a sudden Keith Jackson pushes off and they've got a touchdown.
You're so right on that.
Last night, Johnny Damon barely ticks a 1-2 change up with nobody on and two out in the ninth after the Phillies have hit solo home runs in the seventh and the eighth to tie it. Okay, so then he works the count to 3-2 and slaps a base hit. Okay, so he steals second and third on the same pitch. And then the Cubs show up and just give him the game. I mean, it's just disgusting. I mean, they're one pitch away from going to the bottom of the ninth and maybe the World Series 2-2 and we have some excitement. No, we don't. It's 3-1 Yankees because they get three runs in the ninth with nobody on. They're one strike away. Nobody on. Two out. And they win the ball game 7-4. God, I hate the Yankees.
Very nice comparison, though. You're exactly right on Oklahoma-Nebraska. How many times? Over and over with the Oklahoma.
A court-ordered auction of former Nebraska football player Aaron Taylor's championship hardware brought in a whopping $28,500. Took about 30 minutes to sell everything Taylor ever wanted. His 7 championship rings, his Outland Trophy Saturday morning in Scott's Bluff. Of course, bids were taken in person and online. The trophy, the Outland Trophy, netted the highest bid, selling for $6,800. His ring sold between $2,000 and $5,900. The auction was forced by the failure of the Husker-themed Scarlet and Cream Letter Club restaurant that he started in Omaha with other former Nebraska players and his resulting bankruptcy. Can you? I guess I just didn't research it enough. Who are the other players? Why are
Scott
they not
Frost
involved?
Is one of them.
What's the deal?
Well, supposedly he hung his neck out further than those other guys, and the bad part is, from what I understand, the friendships have been severed now. They no longer in touch with one another, best friends at one time. Hopefully this was bought by friends and family, and Aaron getting his feet back underneath him and get that stuff back.
Yeah, that's That stinks. I'll tell you what, the only good thing that came out of that Nebraska-Texas or Nebraska-Baylor game on Saturday was the North Texans for Nebraska and what they did. If you didn't hear about this and didn't see it, the governor was there. Matt Davison was in on that. Former Husker Julius Jackson was in on this. The North Texan-Nebraska alumni chapter, located in Dallas, showed their support for the brave men and women of the U.S. military through a drive that secured tickets for them, for those military people, from Fort Hood, over 100 game tickets for that game against Baylor. The money for the tickets raised through what they call watch parties. North Texans for Nebraskans. You've been to a watch party, haven't you?
Absolutely. Good time to just get a bunch of fans together. That's what they do.
Money was also raised through their own website, NorthTexasNebraskans.com. All the money was raised in less than 3 weeks, showing the power of the Husker faithful. The troops received gifts, meals, transportation to the game. They had the tailgate prior to the game to honor the troops. And so great job for the North Texans from Nebraska, honoring in a small way the sacrifice of the brave American military troops, taking over 100 military men from Fort Hood, all from Nebraska. All those troops are from Nebraska, and they got to go to the Nebraska-Baylor game.
Awesome. That's an excellent.
And then there was kickoff. Tony,
and then they had to watch the second half.
Tony, give me a reason why we should have won. We block a kick. They miss a field goal from 24 yards. This is a 13-13 game. It made me want a pearl puke. I mean, seriously, Pleasanton being up 64-0 over Potter Dix was better than this thing. This was a horrible football game. Tony, it's a horrible football game.
No, that was far worse than watching the Huskers. I will tell you that.
Cody Green. I don't know what you say. You could have come in and gloated all over this thing. Cody Green didn't provide anything more than what we've seen. Niles Paul actually caught a couple balls, so that, you know, if he catches a couple for Zach. Cody Green may have provided somewhat of a spark to the team, saying, hey, yeah, maybe this is the guy we want. Maybe he can run it. He gets a first down run the first time that the Huskers have the ball. But Nebraska also puts him in a comfortable place. They're up 7-0. They're never behind. They're never having to worry much in this football game, despite the poor play that they had. And I just want to know, and Sean Watson, I know, is just getting piled on, but I have to throw a little on the pile as well. I mean, tomorrow at the press conference or whenever you want to talk to Sean Watson as a member of the media, whether it's us, whether it's somebody else, don't you just take in a big grease board with a picture of the football field that they have, and then you draw a big circle right around the middle of it and go, you don't have to put the ball outside these hash marks. There's all this room in between the hash marks, Coach Watson. And it's... Tony, explain. Can you? Can you got anything for me? Again, nothing against Cody Green. He had one bad pass in the pick. He fumbled. I mean, it's gonna happen. It's got to get better. There's no doubt about it. But boy, seriously, right now in your heart, if they keep playing like they've played the last 3 weeks, they cannot win another football game. And who would have ever thought Kansas State would be put in that situation?
Doug, in the first half, I thought watching Cody Green, I didn't have one play. The pass he threw out the back of the end zone, the guy was covered. He threw the ball away. People go, he threw it 12 foot over. Yeah, he threw it away. You morons! Have you ever not saw anybody throw a ball away?
I saw Zach Lee do it a couple times.
Yeah, he threw the ball away at that pass in the end zone. So don't sit there and go, no, that was not even close. Well, hell no, it wasn't close. He threw the damn thing away. I just thought the whole first half, I really never found a time to go, that was a poor decision. He got out of the pocket and ran when Zach Lee never would have got out of the pocket. He ran over a defensive back, just lowered his head, and crushed a defensive back. That's something physically that we never going to see out of Zach Lee. That's my praise for Cody Green in the first half. Threw a couple nice balls. You're right, Niles Paul, the pass that went out of bounds at the 1.5-yard line that we scored on twice. Which what the official didn't see, whatever, was a very nice catch by Niles Paul. The second half, almost to me, sounds like, because we were obviously did not get to see that, sounds like to me it was Sean Watson under the Bill Callahan I'm a pro coach mentality. Let's run the ball twice and then throw a screen pass for 3 yards. And punt the ball away and let our defense hold them and keep the clock running.
If I see a screen, if I'm serious, if I was on the sidelines, if I was a coach, if I was a player, maybe. I mean, if you see a third and nine or more, screen pass called again, walk right up and kick him square between the thighs. You don't think they already know it's coming when you run it 100% of the time? I mean, seriously, it's frustrating. It is just frustrating. It's got to be frustrating for the players. It's bad, folks. It is bad. It is bad. We thought we were heading in the right direction. Not this year, we're not. This defense is outstanding, and this offense is the worst I've ever seen at the University of Nebraska.
I'm comparing last year's offense to this year. Is the quarterback play that much difference?
Healthy running backs. I'll say it every week. I'll continue to say it every week. One of the reasons you can't just bulldoze everybody that's on that offense or in the offensive coaching tab, if they could run the ball effectively, they would. And not all of the offensive line is great. About half of it is. We have no running back that's healthy right now. We have nobody. Robinson is going to try his best, it looks like, as a freshman. There's no running game. And then you don't really utilize Cody Green in the running game anyway. And maybe that's something that has to come along. Maybe that's something you... But if you can't do it against Baylor, you can't do it against anybody. Tony, Baylor is horrible. Oh. They are horrible. You've got great... You got Jordan Lake, Joe Pavelic. You've got some good players. But outside of that, they're horrible.
Did you ever try to utilize the...
Well, exactly.
I'm not going to make a lot of it. You got to go with your gut. You got to make your opportunity. Give yourself the best opportunity to win the football game. Today we felt that was Cody Green.
And here's what Cody Green had to say about getting that first start.
First half, things were rolling really good for us. Everybody was making plays, offensive and defensive-wise, you know. Those first couple of drives ended up in field goals. Of course, we want those as touchdowns. But, you know, any points is better than no points. But, you know, second half, we kind of went out there and just shot blanks. And we were lucky enough that our defense came up big in the second half for us.
Well, I think it goes back to you just handcuffed that offense so poorly with the play calling. I just don't understand the philosophy. If the philosophy is, we've got to get through this week, and we. You're right, Doug, about the missed field goal that surely should have been hit. Then they would have been a one possession game. You know, if it comes down to that, there's a lot of weird things that can happen all of Virginia Tech all over again with one play here. I don't know if you don't try and score. What was he not trying to score?
You don't score until you score. Famous words. 20-10. Nebraska wins the game over Baylor, which is probably the most ugly win that Nebraska's had since a 7-6 win at home over Pittsburgh, where a field goal gets knocked off the own helmet. Under Callahan. Just horrible. Only good thing that came out of this was that they double and triple team Ndamukong Suh and Jared Crick. I mean, Jared Crick does a great job. Suh does a great job. If they don't double team Suh kills him. If they do, Crick kills him. It's great to have that 1-2 punch. And sophomore defensive tackle Jared Crick of Cozad, 13 tackles, 10 of them solo, tied a school record with 5 quarterback sacks. He had 7 tackles for loss, added a fumble recovery, broke up a pass in the victory. He is the Walter Camp Foundation National Defensive Player of the Week. The quarterback from Oregon, Jeremiah Masoli, he's the Offensive Player of the Week after they beat USC. That just tells you the type of performance you need. He is the National Defensive Player of the Week. Crick and Suh have both won that award this year, and Nebraska's 5-3, Tony.
Had a friend joke after the game, says, "Well, the Huskers cost me 110, but Crick made himself $2 million." You know,
talk to him about that.
What a day to showcase that maybe you're an NFL type of player and get some recognition up there.
Jared Crick tentatively scheduled to join us in the first half of the show tomorrow here on ESPN Radio. Now the off-the-field news. Ndamukong Suh ticketed for negligent driving after he hit 3 parked cars on a narrow Lincoln street. Let's face it, we didn't have to be there. We can envision this. We've partied in Lincoln. We went to college in Lincoln. We know what the narrow streets look like. We know what 2:20 in the morning brings. We know what's going on those streets. Now, whether Suh is a part of this or not, we don't know. 0.35, legal limit 0.8. So, his blood alcohol level, obviously he'd had a couple of drinks after they got back. Obviously, he was not near impaired as far as driving. He says he tried to avoid hitting either a small dog or cat, whatever it was that ran in front of him. Now, hopefully that's true. If not, good quick thinking.
I got to believe my boys.
Yeah. Yeah. Bo Pelini, we will hear from him second at the very end of the show, the Big 12 press conference, weekly teleconference coming up. So we will try and plug into that and hear, because you know he's going to be asked about it, and it'll be his first comment about it.
Doug, what is your first comment when yesterday you were the one that looked it up where we were at, and you saw the number? Oklahoma, for those of you that don't know this, Oklahoma listed as a 6.5-point favorite. Less than one touchdown favorite coming to Memorial Stadium for a night game, 7 o'clock on ABC.
Kansas State gave them all they wanted, and they lost to Texas. I don't know how good Oklahoma is, but if I gave you 17, what would you say?
They're going to roll us up.
That's
the initial feeling.
I've been hoping this whole time that maybe that wasn't the case, and that maybe what Iowa State did to us, we could do to them, or maybe we game planned too much for Oklahoma and not some other people. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-ESPN. That's the phone number to be with us on the show today. We'd love to hear from you. Let's go to Greg in Kearney, who says, football success starts up front. We have no offensive line, period. Baylor ranks 100th versus the run, and we couldn't run effectively versus them. We have recruited a bunch of pass blockers, and pass blocking makes you soft. Then they are too slow to get to the perimeter and block for our vaunted screen pass to the flat game. Man-to-man, zone block, and knock the crap out of somebody. Greg in Kearney. Rushing for Nebraska in this football game, 145 yards. Nebraska's leading rusher, 63 yards in Robinson.
Yeah, Wake Forest rushed 200-some-odd yards against the... I don't understand. Is our blocking schemes that far vastly different than everyone else's? I don't get it.
Again, you have to hope they're trying to do the best with what they got, and if that's the best, it's severe trouble. Let's go to the delusional Husker fan who chimes in on this Monday morning. Delusional... I'm not delusional. I'm just beating my head against the wall. What's up, man?
I've lost all delusion because I have the exact same feeling that you have. Out of our next four games, what game are we going to win to even get bowl eligible to go get spanked somewhere? I have no idea.
Well, as the boys in the paper said on Sunday, representatives of the Independence Bowl were there. That's
better
not good.
I would get.
That's not good. No, you're right, delusional.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It was rough to watch. Just the offense, we don't use the middle of the field. Like you said, it's very obvious to everybody except for Watson, apparently. He puts Cody Reed in a tough spot throwing clear across the field on an out. Those pick sixes are going to happen.
Well, it's rough, delusional. Thanks for the call, buddy.
Yeah.
Here we go. Here's Ken, our Irish fan. Big game against Washington State, although I don't know what we'd do with Washington State right now. Since I didn't see Big Daddy standing on the sidelines Saturday with a headset on, I must conclude he's psychic. How else could he know what plays were called? It appears that even he knew when Cody checked out of a play and even knew which receiver he picked in his progression. Amazing. Irish Ken.
No, Ken, it was I saw in the future last Tuesday that Cody Green would start. That's the only thing you need to know. They'll call me Nostradamus. Thank you.
How long do you think they waited before they made him blow into the breathalyzer when they're talking about Mr. Sue? I'll say they probably didn't even wait the required 15 minutes because they wanted to nail him. Ooh, I got Jabba, now I can get Sue.
I think you're right on that.
Seriously, whatever you want to say, back in the day when Devaney's coaching...
was way better than what goes on
now.
They're
getting taken home, yeah. To protect and to serve, not to railroad and throw you in jail. It's changed. It has definitely changed. 1-888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. That's the phone number. We'd love to hear from you. Coming up, Paul Merkowitz, head football coach at Hastings College. We'll take a break. More from the Husker fans after this.
Is ESPN Radio Superstation. Two gentlemen who are known for their razor-sharp wit, insightful commentaries, probing interview techniques, and charm. These broadcasting megamen will be back right after this. All right, you two, I said what you wanted. Now, where's my money?
In today's job market, companies are cutting jobs. Is your job secure? Do you have the skills you need to keep your job? If you've lost your job, do you have the skills needed to get another?
Hi, I'm John Scherer, CEO and founder of Video Professor. Most jobs today require computer skills.
I want to give you that edge so that you have the skills that you need to compete. Learn Vista, Excel, PowerPoint, even eBay. Over 60 lessons to choose from, and I'll send you any one of your choice absolutely free. It's a fact. Employees with the most computer skills have a better chance of keeping their jobs. And if you're looking for a job and you have the computer skills, you're more than likely to get hired. Don't take chances with your career. Let me help you take control. You have nothing to lose. Try my product.
Don't wait another second to get the computer skills you need. Call the Video Professor hotline right now and see how Video Professor can help you. We want you to succeed. Call 1-800-795-8130. 1-800-795-8130. That's 1-800-795-8130.
Whether it comes in a glass, on a plate, or in a bucket, Cunningham's Journal in the Loft has specials that year in and year out make them a favorite for Kearney area sports fans. College or pro, the TVs are always on, the crowd turned up, the food and snacks hot, and the beverages cold. Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, ready to roll through the fall and winter sports seasons. And when the game isn't on, the live entertainment is at Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, downtown Kearney.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
You have more power than you may realize when it comes to managing your health care costs. With a health savings account partnered with the right health plan, you gain control over your medical dollars. Ask today about the new HSA eligible plans available from two names you trust, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, and your Farm Bureau agent. With Farm Bureau and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, you get the best of both. Matt Myers and Rich Peters are independent and authorized insurance producers of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. For your health insurance needs in the Kearney area, call Farm Bureau agents Matt Myers and Rich Peters at 234-4922. That's 234-4922. Make the call today and get the best of both with Farm Bureau and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska.
Mostly considerable cloudiness and a chance of some showers across the area as we head through the day today with high temperatures around 54. Winds will also stay variable at 5 to 15. Then skies stay partly to mostly cloudy tonight with a low at 33. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 45.
Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. The Chicken Coop wants you to come in and enjoy Monday Night Football tonight, but don't wait. Sometimes you can eat there twice in one day. Done it! Guilty. I've done it. It's because it's good, folks. Don't miss NFL games on Monday night, even though it's not Monday Night Football tonight. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Yes, it is. You want to watch Monday Night Football and the World Series, Daddy? You want to watch them both? Atlanta, New Orleans, Monday Night Football, Yankees, Phillies, World Series Game 5. $2 you call it. Almost every drink in the place is $2. And, of course, if you're hungry, they've got everything you need, from an appetizer, boneless chicken wings, the great wings with their dozens of flavors that they've got, medium hot and buck nasty hot. How about spicy garlic Dijon, barbecue, jalapeno garlic, pepper teriyaki, the Jamaican jerk.
How about Ted Ginn Jr., number 19, hitting a keno yesterday, Doug?
Bam! That's how it works, people.
Oh, yeah.
You want a burger, you want a salad, or you want a big old steak, something to go along with it? Right there it is, folks, at the Chicken Coop, where it's $2. You call it tonight at the Chicken Coop, downtown Kearney and Grand Island. Let's go to the phone lines at 888-455-ESPN.
Got Sean from Holdridge on the line, guys.
A duster joining us today. Sean, what's up?
Oh, not a lot. How about you guys?
Well, we're just hoping we don't get beat by 70 on Saturday.
I'm not so worried. If you gave me 17 points, I actually would take Nebraska on this, because I don't think our defense will give up 17. I mean, we won't win, but I don't think the defense will give up 17. And I think part of the problem is one of the things we are missing so badly right now is Swift and Peterson.
Yeah.
I really think that's one of the reasons that they don't go over the middle. Because there is nobody that's catching the ball. So at least if it's to the outside, maybe it'll go out of bounds.
Sean,
instead
you
of hit somebody's hands and shoot straight up for an interception.
I totally agree. It never in my life I thought they would be missed as very solid possession receivers. Third and six, you knew where the ball was going. You couldn't stop it because they knew how to position their bodies and get in front of people and then secure the football. Never in my life did I envision that we would miss those guys this bad.
It's horrible. I mean, you look at prime example is Kerry Meyer. He's not a, you know, he's not the fastest guy, not the biggest guy, but he's a go-to guy. You know, Reese on third down, you know where it's going, you know who's going to get the ball, and try to stop it. I mean, that's their attitude, try to stop me. And we don't have that guy. We don't have a guy, you know, you can ask Matt Davison, if any of those guys back in Tom's day would have dropped half the passes these guys are dropping, they would have been riding pine. They would have pulled somebody out of the stands to catch the ball.
You know, Sean, why did Matt Davison play when he was a freshman? It sure the hell wasn't because he was outrunning people by 38, you know, by three steps every play. It was because every time they got the ball to where his hands could get on it, he caught the thing.
That's exactly right. And maybe we need to move Ron over to the wide receivers coach now. Get him chewing on those guys a little bit. Catch that stupid ball.
Yeah, because we don't use the tight ends. Hey, Sean, thanks for the call. Sure,
no
appreciate
doubt.
It. Take care, buddy. JP fires in from the lake. So if Sue tested 0.35, does that mean he drank about an 18-pack?
Right.
Dent Popper inbox, Shane fires in. I try to look at the positive for almost any game, but I'm running out of excuses. Any 16-year-old kid with an Xbox or PlayStation controller could call a better play than what Sean Watson calls. I hope that when the screws get turned on Bo to look for a new offensive coordinator, he'll do what Bill Callahan never could do and fire someone. I hope for Cody Green's sake he will be given a coach that will turn him into a top Big 12 quarterback. Shane.
That's what you got to hope, but it starts, you know, starts a little bit with the play calling. And I think maybe we question that a little bit, but what do you do, Doug? I think that, you know what, I'm going back and protecting Zach Lee a little bit because I thought he was bad, maybe even less than bad at times.
More Husker talk coming up. We expect to hear from Bo Pelini, hopefully to make a comment on Ndamukong Suh. But right now, just, you know, laying back, kicking it the last Saturday, you know, checking out what's going on. Paul Merkowitz, head football coach at Hastings College, joined us on Mondays with Merck and Morris. Coach, how'd you enjoy the bye week?
Spent a lot of time with the family. It was nice weather, and watched a little football and hung out with my kids.
Coach, did you watch the Huskers?
No, I did not.
Okay. Fair enough. We can't pin you down then. Right, that's fine.
He's smart enough.
That's good.
Smart enough that he doesn't have to do that. Coach, what did you do in your bye week with just a couple of games left in the regular season, and hopefully if things work out, a chance to go to the postseason? What were you working on?
Well, we just, you know, we wanted to make sure we stayed sharp with things and get guys healthy. We went Tuesday and Wednesday, and then we did some team stuff on Thursday and gave them Friday and Saturday off. We came in yesterday, and normally we don't do much on Sunday, but we went out for about an hour and a half and just wanted them kind of banging around a little bit. And just, you know, when you take a couple days off, you want to get back to the field as quickly as you can. We probably weren't as sharp as I wanted to be yesterday, but I'll hope it'll get better today and as the week goes on. But it was nice to have a few quarterbacks out there to be able to throw the ball and do some things. So that was kind of nice to have practice yesterday.
Will those guys be back for you, Coach?
Well, I met with doctors this morning, and they're cleared, but they're not. They're still sore, so I don't know. We're just going to kind of see how the week goes and stuff like that, and just kind of put in a game plan and just kind of go from there.
Coach, what do you hear? Is there anybody for you to talk to about postseason? To get into the playoffs and who, how do you go about that?
Not really. There really isn't. We have three Raiders that are in our conference, Nebraska Wesleyan, Sioux Falls, and Morningside. Those coaches are part of those 16 that vote each week. So we'll just kind of see what happens with the polls today. And I haven't really worried much about it. You know, if we take care of our business on Saturday, I may try to start making a few phone calls next week and just talk to some people and kind of see where everything is at. But, I'll be curious to see where Northwestern falls, you know, after getting beat by Sioux Falls. They were 12. We're 19. The 17th and 18th team also lost. So just kind of a matter of where everybody goes, and there's still some teams that are ahead of us that still have to play within the top 25. So there's a lot to shake out yet.
Well, Coach, I will be the first to say that for the two teams you've lost to, and if you do not get into the national playoffs, I think would be a true and total travesty.
Well, yeah, I mean, it would be disappointing, but,
I would be pissed. I wouldn't be disappointed. I would be outright pissed.
Well, you know, sometimes you know, hard work and those types of things puts you in the equation, but it doesn't always work out. So we'll just kind of see how everything shakes out and just kind of go from there. But our number one concern right now is Concordia. It's, you know, their senior day. It's their last game of the year. So I know they're going to be fired up for us head over there and see if we can take care of business.
Coach, I guess Concordia is not a very good football team, but they found a way to win three football games. And I guess one of the very few silver linings out of last year's Briarcliff game is you can keep bringing that up in situations like this.
Yeah, and we have, and they, you know, they do have some athletes that definitely have our attention, and so we need to just make sure that, you know, I'm hoping that we keep the business-like approach that we had when we played Dana a couple weeks ago. I think our preparation has been good, and our guys understand that it's a one-week deal, and we just keep working that way.
Paul Merkowitz, head football coach at Hastings College, joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, what about Concordia? You mentioned they've got a couple of kids. Where are they strong? Where do they concern you a little bit?
Well, I like some of the things that they're doing offensively. They really distribute the ball to a lot of different people. And like I said, they're athletic. They've got a couple of big receivers, which has given us some problems in the past. So that's a concern. And then, you know, defensively, they really run the ball extremely well and play it pretty well in the defensive line. So, you know, we're just going to have to, you know, try and, you know, do the things that we've done that have helped us. You know, we've taken care of the football and we've stayed out of some bad situations, and hopefully we can do that on Saturday.
Then Midland Lutheran the following week. We'll talk about that next Monday. Coach, not much to recap off of a bye week. Did you get to see some high school playoff games at all?
We did see quite a bit, which was nice, you know, and we'll get a chance to see a couple more this week, and so that's always a good thing to have. You know, when we had St. Cecilia over here, that kind of helps when you can sit in your own press box and watch the game. But, it's nice to get out and see some guys play.
Coach, I guess everybody's talking about the health of your quarterbacks. Anybody else that's banged up for you?
No, really. We met this morning and kind of went through some things. I mean, we got an offensive lineman that was kind of banged up a couple weeks back, but he's going to come back. And so, all in all, we're starting to get healthy, you know, hopefully at the right time. But we felt pretty good yesterday, having everybody pretty much practice.
All right, Coach, we'll let you get back to work. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Paul Merkowitz, head football coach at Hastings College. We need to take a break on the Doug and Daddy Show. A couple more emails. We hope to hear from Bo Pelini. We'll be right back.
All right, look, Doug and Daddy don't work for beer and pretzels. Well, they did for the first 3 months until somebody told them that they should be paid. Well, anyway, they'll be back after these commercial messages.
Has the value of your investment portfolio declined? Of course it has. Are you nervous or concerned about your portfolio and your current advisor relationship? Of course you are. Enough is enough. It's time for a change. It's time for an unbiased second opinion. Hi, I'm Matt Westfall with Centerpoint Wealth Management in Grand Island. At Centerpoint Wealth, we use three independent resources to analyze your holdings. We evaluate performance, annual cost, company overlap, and standard deviation. If you've reached the enough is enough stage, it's time. It's time for a serious critique. Bring us your statements, and we'll deliver an analysis that you can use right now. Call 398-1174 or visit our website at centerpointwealth.com. That's CENTRE.wealth.com.
Securities offered through Securities America Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Securities America Advisors Incorporated. Centerpoint Wealth Management and Securities America companies are not affiliated.
Whether it comes in a glass, on a plate, or in a bucket, Cunningham's Journal in the Loft has specials that year in and year out make them a favorite for Kearney area sports fans. College or pro, the TVs are always on, the crowd turned up, the food and snacks hot, and the beverages cold. Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, ready to roll through the fall and winter sports seasons. And when the game isn't on, the live entertainment is at Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, downtown Kearney.
Hi, folks. This is Darrell Waltrip, NASCAR champion and the proud owner of a geothermal heating and cooling system from Water Furnace. You know, I learned a long time ago that to be a winner, well, you got to have the best machine and the best team. That's why my new home is heated and cooled by Water Furnace Geothermal. It's clean, reliable, economical, and here's the best part. It's made in the USA. Now, in my book, that's a winning combination. So call your local Water Furnace dealer today.
We don't cut corners, Vidalke Heating and Air.
At
ENT Physicians of Kearney, we put patients first. For more than a decade, Drs. Owen and Conley have provided unsurpassed care to adults and children with problems and diseases related to the ear, nose, and throat. To learn more about our practice and the services we provide, please visit our website at entphysiciansofkearney.com. Caring for our community, one patient at a time, we're ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center.
We'll see considerable cloudiness and a chance of some showers across the area as we head through the day today with high temperatures around 54. Winds will also stay variable at 5 to 15. Then skies stay partly to mostly cloudy tonight with a low at 33. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Right now, 45.
Show Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. How'd we do this weekend on the Bruce Furniture Pigskin Pick'em, Derek?
Well, I had a couple of good records going around. 7-3 for Doug, 7-3 for Tony, 7-3 for our caller Kelly as well.
Kelly, the only one that's fired up about the crap offense that Nebraska has because he wins the tiebreaker.
Actually,
now we have two finalists.
Yeah, we do. He went 41 on the tiebreaker. That's closer to the 30-point total. Doug, you had 48. Tony, you had 58. And just a correction here, Justin, our caller's name, Justin from Kearney there. His last name's Kelly, so I was close. But regardless, he qualified there. Second qualifier of the season.
Congratulations, Smuck.
That's what happens when you have too much Ultra 412 in your system. So what did we miss?
Looks like Justin missed the Mississippi-Auburn game. He had Ole Miss.
I got that one.
You did get that one. He had USC, obviously, a miss there, and he had Kentucky. All of us had Kentucky, actually, beating Mississippi State. That was wrong. Looks like, Doug, you also missed the USC at Oregon. You took Kansas over Texas Tech as well, and Tony...
Thanks.
Looks like Tony also took Ole Miss. Tony took Michigan State at Minnesota as well. Minnesota won that, and then, of course, the Kentucky pick.
And Texas Tech goes on a 28-0 run in the fourth quarter to beat Kansas. How'd you do?
You know what? We split in the college ranks 2-2, and we got 21 points of production in the first quarter at Arkansas. We got 21 points in the second quarter. We got 21 points in the third quarter. We get zero in the fourth quarter and miss a cover by 2 points there with Eastern Michigan. Those schlups scored 20 points in the third quarter. Eastern Michigan scored 20 points in the third quarter on Arkansas somehow, someway. Obviously, Oklahoma, Kansas State, much closer than 28 than the experts thought. We hit Boise State over San Jose State, and then our double shock power play of the year, Iowa State going on the road to A&M, 35-10, wasn't close to that 8 points, so that was a good win. Then yesterday, we were 1-500, 1-2 on the pros. I had Houston, nice win there. Slayton didn't get it done, but Ryan Motes got it done. San Diego somehow messed around. Phillip Rivers is my fantasy quarterback, by the way, in one league. One touchdown, 6 freaking points. Thanks, Phillip. Jerk. And then Green Bay. You know what? If you're gonna shove the guy out the door when he wanted to change his mind, make sure he doesn't kick your ass in your own building. What a bunch of doorknobs. If I was a Packer fan, I'd light some fires. I'd tip a car over and burn something this morning.
That's the way you roll on Halloween. So 2-2 in the college, 1-2 on the pros. Daddy, you probably could get a Sunday morning gig on ESPN with that kind of stuff. I mean, Hank Goldberg's kept it for 15 years. So Adam and Holdridge says, I hear everyone complaining about not being able to run the ball, which is justified, but a lot of the blame goes to the O-line. Is this deserved? A little of the blame is. However, take a look at the running back situation. No Helu, no Castilla, no Burkhead, no Robinson. Austin Jones and Lester Ward, or whatever their names are. At the start of the season, did you think that there was any freaking chance either of these guys would see the field in anything but a blowout? We're playing the fifth or sixth running back on the depth chart. These guys couldn't gain 100 yards behind the pipelines of the mid-90s. So what happened to this season? The wheels have fallen off. Can Bo get us back on track? Well, he did last year, but I'm not convinced. Injuries happen. Barney happened. It happened. Adam and Holdridge.
Oh, Douglas. We're not going to start firing coaches now, are we?
Here's something for you. Here is a classic moment.
And it's a sad moment, but it's a somewhat classic moment. And Bo Pelini, we did not get a comment on Ndamukong Suh yet. I'll be listening on the sports this afternoon for a comment on Suh and his off-the-field encounter over the weekend. But Sean Watson, he's getting it from all sides. When Nebraska is at home, the post-game press conference is in the Husker weight room. There's a spot off into the corner where we go for our press conferences. When we go on the road, the media, they find a table, they throw it in the hall, or they throw it in the, I mean, it's in the stadium, it's out in the corridor, outside of the locker room, so there's all kinds of noises. You hear the semi with the equipment up there, you hear the team buses, you hear everything. It's all kinds of noise. And
basically in the bowels of the stadium.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's weird, but Bo Pelini is not a minute into his press conference. It's close enough that the fans can see the coaches, and they can look over from where they're sitting in the stands. If they're hanging out there or they're walking out, you can see through the chain link fence. You can see the press conference going on. And here, this is in the middle of Bo Pelini. He's responding to a question, and a fan out of nowhere.
Say that again.
And it had nothing to do. Bo Pelini wasn't responding to the fan who said, "You suck, Watson," as loud as he could. Yeah, right there. That's what he's saying, in case you couldn't make it out clearly. And then he was asking a reporter, say that again, because he was thrown off.
He had to have heard it, Doug.
Without a doubt. Before we get out of here, Radoslav Elo has committed to Bemidji State, another college commitment for the Tri-City Storm. The Storm will host Lincoln tomorrow. Probably give you a chance to win tickets to the game on tomorrow's show. They won again, beating Lincoln 5-1 Halloween night. Derek, they're on a roll.
Yeah, they beat the brakes off them, so hopefully they can get another win here at home on Tuesday. They're on it. Like you said, Doug, they are on a roll.
How?
The Nebraska-Oklahoma game, by the way, 7 o'clock on ABC, if you didn't know that. Volleyball, UNK got a couple of wins. Hastings College will be the number 4 seed for the GPAC tournament. They will have a home game Saturday at 7:30. Hastings women, their basketball season started in South Dakota over the weekend. They dropped the opening game to number 9, Black Hill State. No shock. They always start like 2-2. 74-58, and then they bounced back yesterday with a 96-71 win over South Dakota School of Mines. They will be heading to the Morningside Classic, and they get to play the number 3 team in the country out of Michigan, coming up, Davenport, Michigan, on whenever that day is, Saturday? Yeah, on Saturday. So there you go. High school football playoffs. We're going to talk more about it as the week progresses. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday games. The very latest, Pleasanton-Loomis has scheduled a 1 o'clock in the afternoon game on Thursday. Because it's going to overlap volleyball, there's a good chance Pleasanton, the number 1 seed in their sub-district, has to play volleyball at night. So they're trying to work all of that out. And that's why they're going to play at 1 o'clock. And we will have that game for you right here. So that's coming up Thursday. Wednesday, we've got all the teams in the area covered as well. So we'll be listening for that, or at least as many as we can. Elm Creek, Ravenna, the Giltner-Axtell game, St. Cecilia, and Adams Central gets to go to Gehring.
Oh, yuck!
But Pleasanton remembers on Thursday. The rest of the C&D in the area are going to play on Wednesday, and then A and B. Congratulations to Grand Island, Jeff Tomlin. Great win. We're going to effort Coach Tomlin later on in the week as they get ready for Elkhorn, trying to make it to the state semifinals. Very impressive win against Omaha.
Nobody gave them a chance except for Doug and I both thought they would win.
Exactly. And we want to thank all of the folks that joined us today, Paul Merkowitz and Daryl Morris, head football coaches at UNK and at Hastings College. Jared Crick scheduled to join us tomorrow. Lance Creech, Hastings men's basketball coach on Wednesday. Bob Jensen, a whole lot more. Find some offense, Big Red. We'll see you tomorrow.
23 hours from now, Doug and Daddy Show, 1460, 1550.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Drew. Cunningham's Drew, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.